First of all, should we just establish the fact that you're not that into scary movies, right?
I'm not into I'm not into like the super dark like kind of horror things. I like to get like sort of unsettled. I like a weird spooky world, mm-hmm. you know? Like I'll watch this is a good example, I think, actually. So Hellraiser, those movies are bonkers, right?
Sure.
But I love like when they're like, and now we're just going to go through this wall and we're in hell. Like, I'm excited by stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like there's a scene in this movie where when that happens, I was like, oh, great. Now I'm on board. Like, so I like stuff like that. That's, I always found that interesting. I love a good atmosphere, but I haven't seen like most of the like Conjuring verse type stuff. Like I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of those. Like,
or
like,
in more, the Insidious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's also more, like connected. Yeah.
I saw Saw for the first time late last year.
Oh man.
Yeah. The original Saw, cause I think we did Spiral, right? But,
yeah,
but I saw the book of Saw.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at horror wise.
Got it. Yeah. I'm not like, I feel like there are definitely bigger horror fans. Like there are people who like subscribe to like Shudder, you know.
Yeah, which I do. I do subscribe to Shudder, and I'll watch a weird thing from time to time. But
oh, interesting. Yeah. But yeah, like I'm not like I do tend to see these types of movies. Like I tend to see the like, and there have been some good ones.
Yeah.
And usually we save these kinds of for Halloween, but I don't know. I just felt like it's out on Paramount Plus or Hulu premium.
This also was a summer movie. Like had the strike not happened, we would have seen it in like June or of last year.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a big one. And you know, it's one of those movies that like has like such a small budget and does so well.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But weirdly, this is not, because I feel like, isn't there another? Yes, there is. So I just want people to know that this is not the Don Cheadle film. Talk to me. I just want to get that out the way up top.
For a moment when I had a feeling you were about to start talking about the Don Cheadle movie, Talk to Me, I started thinking of the Tim Meadows radio movie. What was that character that he played?
Ladies Man?
Ladies Man. Isn't he like a radio personality in that? Or do I just think that Don Cheadle in the fro,
they look the same. Yeah,
that's what it is. It's probably has nothing. Ladies Man probably had nothing to do with radio, but the Don Cheadle in the fro reminds me of Tim Meadows in the fro.
Maybe, but it's funny because it's like technically we should also review that film, Talk to Me, but we're not reviewing Talk to Me 2007. We're reviewing Talk to Me 2024. It's not 20. It's the year 2024 now. Technically, this is 2022, even though most people saw it in 2023.
Oh, wow. 2022.
Yeah. But okay. Anyway, now that that's out of the way, James, talk to me.
No.
What? Oh, okay. Right. We have to start the show. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
we should get it.
Yeah, okay.
The...
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock.
James III.
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood, Hollywood City.
I let you in. I let you in. Wow.
Creepy.
Wow.
Nice and creepy.
I gotta say, before we even really get into this, them kids were annoying as hell, man. I'm in my late 30s. I think this is when I realized, oh, I'm definitely in my late 30s. I couldn't stand these kids.
None of them?
Not a single one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Badass kids, just do your homework. What do you
do your homework?
That's literally how I felt the whole movie. I can't believe it. Man. I can't believe I've reached that age, but they needed to be.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. Okay, this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them
right.
in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Talk to the people.
There are usually three of us, but Gerard Milligan is taking a little bit of a break right now, so we're holding down the fort for him.
Yes.
We didn't get a guest because we are really bad at that.
We didn't decide that we were going to do this movie, though, until this time yesterday. So so it's been, we had 24 hours to both watch the movie and get a guest that had either already seen it or had time to watch it.
For people who are like, why aren't you getting me as a guest? Just so you know, it's just because we're so bad at it.
Yeah, if there's anyone out there who's like, how come I haven't been on that show
it's
yet?
It's not a, yeah, it's like, wow, they'd rather have no one. No, we would actually rather have you. It's just that we think about the movie that we're going to do the day before.
This one in particular was very last minute put together. And and it's a lot going on right now.
You
a lot
know,
going on
it.
For us right now in the world.
We got a good one for you today. And the voice you're talking to right now, I'm just going to be honest. It wouldn't be caught dead touching nothing that has anything to do with some ghosts. Okay? Absolutely not. I am not messing with that. I don't care if I don't even believe in it. I am not touching it. If you tell me that if I touch something that a ghost will possess me, I will say, you better not only get away from me, I actually don't want to see you again. I don't want to see you again. And if you die, I'm going to say, yep.
Yeah, I actually will follow up and say this voice. Oh, wait, you haven't said your name yet.
Go ahead. That the voice that believes all that, that's Jonathan Braylock.
Well, this voice that would also be like, you better go somewhere with that mess. You better not come. And I swear, if I know you messing around with something and I see you coming near me, I'm calling the cops immediately. Okay, I'm calling the cops. I'm getting everything that's potentially a weapon near me I'm going to be swinging. Okay, I'm going to be swinging. That voice is James III.
Oh, okay. And we are reviewing Talk to Me. As I said, technically 2022, but I think it came out in 2023.
Was it a festival situation, or
it was a festival. It had a debut screening at the Adelaide Film Festival, which is in Adelaide, South Australia, in October 30th, 2022. Then it was it had an international premiere at Sundance.
Okay.
And once it did that, then there became a bidding war. A24 won. They took it on. And then it was released in the summer of 2023.
Okay, can we talk about something real quick? This movie feels like an A24 movie. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you feel like? Do you think
even though they just distributed it?
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that the directors were like, we want to attract? Like, I guess you would have to, right? You're thinking about where this movie's going to land when you're like putting it together and making it, right? Like, but do you think they were like, we're going to make an A24 movie? You
know? No. I think they probably were like, A24 is the right fit for our movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, you know, they just wanted to make a cool, fun, scary movie. I will say this is, it does feel somewhat like an A24 movie, but A24 also has a little bit. Sometimes their movies are a little bit more, I mean, what's the word for it? Like artsy isn't the right word. Like, there's some more space, you know, like for their horror films. Like, they sit in the eeriness more. It's
right.
Like, this film has, especially in the middle, like, has a lot of pace to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit more quick and, dare I say, fun.
Right.
In a creepy way.
Yeah.
Than like A24's typical like Hereditary or like, you know, Midsommar.
Yeah, they're like mood movies or like concept. Yeah. It's like, isn't this concept? Like, how do you feel about this? Even though I haven't seen those particular movies, I haven't seen, but like, because I think they're going to be too scary and I don't want to see them. But I have seen The Witch. They did that, right? Or no? Does it just feel like them?
I feel like they did The Witch. Yeah, okay. That sounds right. That sounds right.
And that was like, it was a vibe. That movie was just like, they were like, hey, check this out. What if
Anya Taylor-Joy is in that film?
Yes. What if The Crucible was like a long kind of, what if you just hung out with one of the women from The Crucible for 2 hours?
Yeah. So this movie, by the way, if you haven't listened to our podcast before, we are going to spoil it. So if you don't want it spoiled, if you want to listen to it, see it, please go see it.
Because you should. Spoiler alert, it was fun. Like, go see it.
Yeah. Yeah. But we are going to talk about it. Just some facts. Basically, this movie stars Sophie Wilde, a person of color. It's set in Australia. It was made in Australia by Australians. It currently has a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
82% audience score. I'm guessing the people who didn't like it just were too scared.
They were like, but I was scared. Of course. Yeah. it's a horror film.
It grossed approximately $92 million on a $4.5 million budget.
Hell yeah.
It's about a group of kids who have
a group of badass kids, group of badass hooligans.
they find, dare I say, a cursed object that can conjure spirits. It becomes a thrill until one of them becomes possessed.
Yeah. By several ghosts, right? I mean, right?
Yeah.
It's not just one. They said that the one can imitate. So
yeah,
maybe it's just giving her a lot of different visuals.
What's up, y'all? Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Ooh, man, listen. You can use Earnin' for a variety of things, like a special night out if you got a big date, a last minute gift, you know, Father's Day is coming up. I mean, listen, James, I could get you a little something for Father's Day, you know?
I always appreciate when you give somebody a gift for one of those days, but they are not your father or mother or whatever. You know, I always like that. It's always nice.
Yeah, so you see the work. You see the work. Just download Earnin' a Day, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details.
Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Don't earn out, earn in.
All right, shall we do initial thoughts?
We absolutely must. We absolutely must.
I can start. Look, this is, I freaking love this film. I think, you know, when horror films are done right, it's like this, and they're just like, it's scary, it's entertaining, it's like shocking, it's like innovative, you know. I feel like the acting was great, the special effects, like the whole black eye, like weird black eye, like, man, that is creepy as hell.
Yeah.
You know, it has like a good kind of emotional story in the background, like a lot of horror films do, that it's kind of mapping onto the horror at the same time.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it's, I don't know. I don't really have anything bad to say about this movie. It's a film that I think if you like scary movies, you should see. If you don't, you know, if you really get scared, like, I do think it is. It's legitimately scary.
No, this movie's terrifying. Okay. Yeah. This movie's terrifying. I'll say it.
Yeah, it's not one of those, like, dumb, like, there are some, like, fun, dumb horror films, like Abigail, like, just came out this year, right? It's, like, kind of fun horror.
And I'm excited to see Abigail. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited
Abigail's
to see that.
Not scary, you know? Anyway, but this is. I always think possession spirits are kind of probably the scariest in the sense that you're like, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And like, even though you're kind of like, oh, it's not real. You're like, but maybe it is.
Yeah, it's the one that feels the most like it could happen, and also the stories that are like, this is based on a true story, is always like, it's always like, this person got possessed and we didn't know what to do.
You know? Right.
It's those ones are always like, this is inspired by real events. And you're like, well,
sure.
Yeah.
I really, really liked it. I saw it in theaters.
Okay.
It was great. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to see this in theaters, but I didn't get around to it until seeing it literally just now. I just finished before hopping on here. And I also had a great time as somebody who's not as into the scarier, like rip my brain out horror movies. I had trouble. And I think also, like, in addition to sort of like what the subject matter is, it's also like, it doesn't rely on jump scares. There's also like just like tension and like the unknown and like all the kinds of things that make this so eerie and uncomfortable in that way. I also get, and I think we've talked about the Scream movies, so I also get like too attached to characters. So like when Riley is like getting messed up in the way that he gets messed up, I was just like, I can't watch this little boy.
Yeah,
have this happen to him. It's like it like really like, and then I just start to get mad and like upset.
Yeah,
but I truly thought that this, my only problem is how bad them kids were. And they needed to be this bad in order for the, like, you know, it's a part of the premise and like what this movie is ultimately, you know, about. And there's something, you know, it's not just one note. There's a lot of different layers and colors to this. And so I had a great time.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, let's just get into it. Talk to me. Let's see, where do we start? It's the
movie opens with the
house party.
Yes, yeah. I'm just gonna say this out the bat. So it's a house party. There's a boy who's looking for and who seems
brother?
Older than everyone else, who's looking for his brother. He's trying to find his brother. He walks around in the house and like, where's my brother?
By the way, whenever I see like movie house parties like this, I always think like, man, I clearly was not cool.
I
was not cool enough in high school to get invited to anything like this. Because I was like, I have just never been to a house party like this. And to be fair, I guess in college I wouldn't have been, because I was in the city and we were like, house parties were in like people's apartments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been like a thing where like, there's a lawn and a pool and people are like,
there wouldn't have been a tracking shot of you like walking around and like people in random rooms and stuff. But just because
I'm always just like, who has these parties where like they have like such rich parents where they have this huge house and then invite like everybody over and then like clearly like trashing this place.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I also wasn't a part of that growing up. But they had to have, somebody was doing it.
No, but yes, he's looking for his brother.
And when he finds his brother, he has to break down the door in order to find his brother. And this is my
thing. Like locked inside.
About this open room. And his brother's saying, he's like whispering something. Like he said, you're going to do something. Or like he's saying some kind of ominous thing. And I just have to say, if this is what the hand is doing to people, why is anybody playing around with this hand? If there's a boy cowering in a corner and then he ultimately stabs his brother and then stabs himself in the face.
Yeah.
If he's doing that and in public in front of everybody, why are you messing with this hand? Why are you messing with this hand? That's what I want to know.
Again, like, I do think so. Yes. Right, like 100%. And also, you know, it is that like people, I think our producer before we started recording, Skylar, had said, you know, something very astute, which is like there's a little bit of like a mapping to drug use, and like it's similar.
Yes.
Right, it's like, you know, people like use drugs, overdose and die.
Yes.
But everybody's like, yeah, but that's not gonna be me.
Right.
Like, I'm not that
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. As long as I do, you know, but even like drinking and driving,
but
right?
But even it's drinking like, and driving.
People, yeah.
But even that is like, you have, there's more instances of everybody's doing that. There's like, you have more examples of, you have more examples.
Sure,
of,
but there are also more deaths.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You know, it's like there is, it's still like people are still, they're still doing, like kids yeah. are dumb. I think at the end of the day, it's just like kids are dumb. And
to yeah. that point, and I think the movie ultimately says this because of what happens, but like when the mom is like, later on, when the mom is like, what did you give Riley? And she's like, nothing.
Right.
It's like, you totally gave him something. Like you did.
Yeah, you
like
did,
you
actually.
Did. You gave him yeah. something. Okay. All right. All right. Well, that's how it opens. It opens with that.
It opens. So it opens with a suicide.
Yes. It opens with a murder attempt, murder suicide attempt. Yeah. But it's the
that's another thing. If that is, you know, a trigger warning for people,
oh, yeah.
like that is essentially what the bad thing that happens kind of.
Yeah. And it sort of keeps happening throughout. Like it happens to one kid, it tries to happen to another kid. Yeah, so it keeps happening.
So yeah, we see this, like that's how it starts. It's so creepy, you know. It's like then we're like, that's like, you know, the scary start of the movie, that we're like, who are these people? They mean nothing to us. These aren't our main characters. So we get to yeah, I mean,
it really is.
We get
like
to our
that.
Main character, Mia, who's played by Sophia Wilde. Let's see, has she done, I mean, she's from Australia, so I don't,
I okay, feel
so
like
it seems she's in this a couple of things.
Yeah,
the series You Don't Know Me, what is that, is this a oh, it's BBC, okay, but she hasn't, this is her first big movie, it seems like.
Yeah. According to just looking at like Wiki, the yeah, only yeah. thing before yeah. this is a short film, so this is her breakout film at least.
Yeah. Seems like she's been in a couple of TV things. She was in one, like two TV things before this, Eden and You Don't Know Me. And then everything else looks like she had done after this. Mm-hmm. What did you think about Sophie? Because I thought her character, so she's like a 17-year-old. She has a little brother. How early on do we know? Do they like explicitly kind of say that her mom died from suicide?
So suicide, I don't even think that comes up until the note later, because
right,
because
we just know her mom.
Well,
is
she
not
said she yeah. when she explains that her mom dies, maybe it's after a couple of instances of doing the hand, but
right,
she does say that she accidentally took too many sleeping pills, which should perk ears up of like, well, what was that about? Why did she, you know, was it an accident? Was it not?
Right. That's
but
right.
because there was scratching on the door, I think that, at least for me, that was that diverted me in a different direction. Like, oh, like maybe something else was up. Like if she was trying to get out of the house, out of the room.
It was like, clearly there was something like, we know her mom passed away. The anniversary of it was coming up. She is clearly not over it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a great relationship with her dad because of that, which right. is always tough. And yeah, there is like a, there's like, but there feels like there's a little bit of a mystery element to like, how did her mom die? Mm-hmm. Or like how exactly, like what were the exact causes of the mom's death? Which they definitely play with in the film. Yeah. But what did you think of her overall?
Acting wise, I thought she was great. Again, I thought all these kids yeah. were annoying and bad, but
all of them?
All of them badass little kids, except for the only one that was not bad is Riley's older sister. But then that moment that she leaves him alone in the room, it's like, well, that everything goes to hell after you leave. So she was bad too. but
yeah.
But I thought, but in terms of like what she's going through and how she like handles this, and I thought all of the kids that go through the possession and like had to like act the other ghost, mm-hmm. I thought were all fantastic. Like really, they they felt like different people in a way. It got me thinking about, like, which I don't always have these thoughts anymore because I'm sort of giving up on acting, but it got me thinking about, like, what was the audition? You know, like, did you have to have an element of, like, showing what possession was like, as well as, like, showing what your regular, you know, teen life was like? And I imagine probably so, but yeah, I thought she was great. I thought she did a great job.
Yeah. And so we see her, she's like, I don't know, this scene, like, picking up her brother, right? Or,
oh yeah, I can't quite remember what happened. I feel like they get to the hand so soon. I feel like she's doing it.
It is pretty so quick. I feel soon. Like we just established the characters. It's like her, like, there's her best friend, Jade. There's like, oh, that's right. Because it's like, she's going over her friend's house and she feels like more comfortable, like, at her friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And they're like, and the whole thing that's established is that she's essentially like family.
Right.
And it's as if they took her in after her mother's passing. And even though her dad is still present and she still lives there, you know.
Right. Because she's an only child.
Yes.
It's the little brother. I forget. Yeah. That's
Riley
a
is Jade's. Yeah. Is Jade's brother.
And yeah. So they, like, kind of basically sneak. Don't they, like, kind of sneak out?
Yeah. I mean, thing? It seems like there's, like, always parties and always kind of things going on that the parents are privy to, but they don't want them to always, so long as they're not drinking or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so they go to this party. And yeah, and then yeah, the hand comes out pretty quickly. We meet all these other bad kids, as James would say.
They all bad, man. All of them bad. These badass little kids, and they bring out the hand right away. This is how you know they bad. Okay, they get to whatever the party is, and the first thing that happens is like, nah, bruh, boom, hand on the table, and it's like, what do we do? First, let me warm up to this. Let me warm up to evil hand that talks to ghosts.
Do you remember the name of the girl that was, like, so aggressive? I felt like she was just like...
Yes. Well, Zoe's the actor's name because I was just looking that up. But I don't remember what her character name was. Haley.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Haley.
And, I mean, she was a mess. She's a mess. Like, she had no remorse. She didn't care... That's what I also thought was gross. Her and the other guy.
Okay, Zoe identifies as non-binary.
Okay, I'm just gonna say they for everybody because I actually don't know what anybody identifies as. But they, so Zoe.
Yeah, I don't know if this character was established, but the actor is non-binary.
So Zoe and what was the other?
Josh.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They were, both of them, they were little assholes because they
really were.
They were just like, every time somebody would get possessed, they'd be filming it and laughing and blah, blah, blah. And you had 90 seconds to be possessed. And it was just like, y'all can't just be sitting around laughing at this.
Messing with it was funny.
Forces unseen.
They were so, okay, here's the other thing that this film does so well. All of the social media elements I thought were on point. Because it was like, the thing that's so funny about this movie is that a lot of times this possession stuff. So I saw the film, I think it's Smile.
Do you remember this? I haven't seen that, but I remember the movie, yeah.
Smile is also a possession film and it's freaky as hell. But like, Smile is a thing where it's like possession's happening, but you don't, like, nobody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like it's happening to the person. Everybody else is like, you're freaking crazy until you die.
Yeah.
This is a thing where they all know possession is happening. Like, not only do they know possession is happening, that's what they want to happen.
Yes, badass
and
kids.
And not only that, but they're filming it. They're filming it.
They're posting
it online. So there are TikToks of people seeing it and laughing and being like, oh my God, is this real? Oh my God, this is so real. This is crazy, whatever. And because they're posting it, other people are like, I want to do it. Like,
right.
I want to do that. Right. Like, that's so cool. oh my God, you got possessed by some whatever. Like, that's so funny. That's so cool. Yeah. You know?
And also probably like there's that thing of the, to your point of like the, is this real? There's that probably that thing of like, I'm not going to see anything, you know? I'll, you know,
totally.
Like,
I don't believe it.
I'll play along, you know?
Like hypnotists, you
right,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where you're like, nah. It's so funny. It's so funny. Like, so basically, like, yeah, they have like the rules are you hold the hand, you say, talk to me, and then you'll see a dead person. And then you say, I let you in. That person possesses you. Oh, there's also a candle.
Yes.
That you have to light. And then if you blow out the candle, And then pull the hand away, then the connection is severed, but you have to do it before 90 seconds. That's the other thing that's kind of crazy about this is like they knew that rule.
Yes.
And to know that rule, it means
exactly
they if there's been established like, hey man, after 90 seconds, some bad stuff starts to happen and you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody dies.
Yeah. And maybe that's what happened to the kid in the beginning because...
Yeah,
because
certainly.
for them to abide by the 90 seconds, they would have to have witnessed like Joss
right,
and,
or know for a certain Haley, like this is a bad thing. Really
yeah,
does
exactly. Because otherwise, they would just be like, "What do you mean? It's great. We all love it. Let's do it for 2 minutes.
I could do it for longer than 90 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you can't do it for yeah. Yeah, exactly. So then, Haley. Zoe,
yeah,
Haley,
okay, yeah.
Basically. Like bullies Sophie. I'm forgetting character name. Sorry.
I hate it. Her name Mia. Is Mia. Yeah.
Mia into doing this. And then Mia's like, all right, whatever. I don't like, doesn't believe it's going to happen.
Right.
And so then does it. And then immediately sees a dead person. Was it the fat? Was it like,
No. So first, cause she doesn't say I let you in the first time. So the right. first person is like a gray-haired man.
Right.
Or male-presenting person.
True.
I'm going to keep we doing that. Know. It is freeing to do this. It's free. I don't know why.
Well, you don't have to feel like you're getting something wrong.
Right, yeah. It's so free to literally just. But so, yeah. And then the next... And the thing about the dead people,
oh my God,
is they're not just like, it's not
no,
just like
look
a dead person.
Disgusting.
They look gross. Something's up.
It's their appearance is like how they die.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
They look scary as hell.
Yeah.
It's not like you just see a person.
Right. Right. Right.
You see a person who looks like a scary ghost.
And the next ghost is. A heavy, wet, female presenting person, okay? And the thing about this is we spend more time with this ghost, okay? And so what I find interesting about it is when we see them, they're like kind of looking around. Like they're kind of like, they seem kind of like, they are aware that they're sitting across from a person.
Yeah.
And knowing how the movie ends, it's so interesting to like once you see the ending, it's so interesting to realize what was going on for the ghost. What this person looks like is so gnarly. Like just the wetness, the kind of gurgly that's happening. It's like why would you say I let you in? Why would you say I let you in? Is the thing It's so uncomfortable to me.
I don't want you in.
I don't want you in.
I definitely don't want you in.
I wouldn't, if I saw this person in real life walking down the street, I wouldn't want to be, I would cross the street. Okay.
Sure.
So now I'm not going to let you inside my body. All right. Well,
I'll let you. That is the crazy thing. They have to say the words, I let you in.
It's like you in. But then, so here's wild. The thing. So I'm thinking all of these things. Sophie says, Mia says, I let you in. The ghost mm-hmm. enters. There's a whole like possession kind of thing that happens. And then she starts talking. She starts saying things as the ghost. Is this the...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the like, he's right behind you. He'll rip you up. He'll rip you up. He'll rip you up. Right? Run, yeah. run, or whatever it is. So, yeah. So like the things that Mia
it's
saying,
already very
yeah,
scary.
It's too. It's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean behind me right now? I don't like any of this. But then when Mia wakes and the kid, everyone's recording and they're having a ball, except for the people that she's like talking to. They're like kind of weirded out. But then the second Mia,
Riley is weirded out.
Riley's
right?
weirded out because that's who she said it will be ripped
yeah,
up.
Directing
and he's behind
into,
you.
Yeah.
You'll be ripped up. But then the second. The ghost leaves, you know, they take off the hand and the tie, they blow out the candle, etc. Mia's like, yeah. And Mia's like, that was great. Like she had a great, for as horrible as it looked, she had a great time. And that, I mean, and then we're off to the races.
It's like, you must feel some sort of high.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, yeah, there's something to it where they like, even though it appears super scary, they're all like, I don't know. That was cool. Like, my body was possessed, you know?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, and this is skipping ahead, but when what happens to Daniel, he's like, I guess because he wakes up with the dog, right? He sees the dog when he wakes up, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what the experience of being with the dead person is.
Yeah.
When they're inside you.
Then we get like a montage, right?
No, not yet. So,
oh,
so
not yet.
Not yet. They, we actually leave here. We come back to do this again. we leave here and go about, I think there's like a scene or two, because this is the one scene that I remember that happens between this is the mom, Miranda Otto, catches wind that something's going on tonight. You know, and she's like, what time's the party? And like trying to like play it off. And she's like, and she says to Riley, you know, don't get drunk tonight. You better not drink tonight. I don't want you to do blah, blah, blah. But I can't remember what we learn in this in between.
Do we get another scene with the dad at this moment? No. I don't think so.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
I don't recall. But when we go back to the hand, this is when we get a montage. Like, Daniel has a weird thing happen to him where he gets possessed. The ghost is like,
it's like corny.
Yeah. The ghost is horny, but, and that's what the ghost is talking about. So the ghost looks to Jade and is like, he gets soft when he looks at you, when you touch him. Then the ghost looks at Mia and starts like licking Daniel's lips. And it's like, okay. Then the ghost falls to the ground and starts humping the ground after like kind of caressing Daniel, you know, and then the dog gets out and starts making out with Daniel, and the ghost, they probably ejaculates in Daniel's pants. Probably. Right. I mean, that's what happened. I mean, and everyone's filming and Daniel wakes up and he doesn't like this. He's like, delete it. Can you do this? That?
Yeah. He doesn't want that recorded. And they're all like, ha ha ha. And this is, that's why I was like, some of these kids are some pretty bad kids.
Yeah. And something that I actually do wish was maybe addressed slightly, because it's like, yes, the kids want to have fun, and maybe they wouldn't. Maybe kids wouldn't do this. Maybe exactly what happened is what would happen. But no one ever actually talks about like what the ghosts are saying. And oh no, later we get we think they're just reading our minds, instead of it being like, it's not a truth, it's the demon thing. It's like the demon knows what your weakness is, and so it's like sort of going for that instead of, and maybe that's just what we're, but I just wanted them to kind of talk about it, because like, if I was at a party and I heard a ghost say, he's gonna rip you up, like, I wouldn't want to be...
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't want to be a part of this ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's like, again, wouldn't even get close to any of this.
Right. Just, yeah, we wouldn't be there.
If I heard a party and somebody pulled out a hand that they were like, this allows you to get possessed by ghosts, I'd be like, you're out of your, you are, you might be Satan himself. So get out of here. Leave. Get thee behind me. I don't want to be anywhere near you. But yeah. And so some of the things are happening. It's like Riley Raleigh wants to do it. They don't, they're not, le- they're like, Riley hasn't done it yet in this montage.
Right. Riley hasn't done it yet. And it does come up that, that they're like, Riley's too young to even do it. He has to be a bystander. And he's there with his buddy, another young, another younger kid.
Yeah.
Who's not allowed to do it.
And I feel like, it's like that the whole incident that happens with Daniel and Jade, that's like, you know, there's a little bit of seeds there of like, oh, this is not, you know, something's a little.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it did. I mean, at the very least, the ghost read some energy that was happening between them because it, you know, it. I feel like they do have that connection. Like it doesn't get explored super deep in the movie, but. They do have some kind of a connection that's seemingly deeper than Daniel's connection to Jade.
Yeah.
Or I guess more electric, even. Not necessarily deeper, but.
And so is this when we get to the whole, the Riley sequence?
Yes. So like, so in it just in, I'll also just say, I already mentioned this before, but we're seeing a bunch of different montages of like the kids like being possessed.
Yeah, and them filming it and going on TikTok.
And I thought Daniel's scene was great. I thought he was really good. And like there's a point where Sophie is like singing a song as a ghost, as a possessed ghost. All that was great. But then yes, this is when we get the Riley sequence. Riley just wants to do it and
Jade's like, absolutely not.
No, you can't do it. And they say mean things to each other. Like, you're going to come running to me afterwards, blah, blah, blah. You just want to, you know, Riley's like, you just want to suck Daniel's dick. All of the things that would literally eviscerate, eviscerated Jade in front of her friends.
Yeah.
But then Jade leaves. She doesn't want, you know, she leaves. She doesn't want any part of this. They're not going to do it. The kids are like not going to do it.
Right.
But then I guess what's happening is Mia's hooked, right? Like Mia loves it and she's like, what's the worst that can happen?
Well, she also is like, she feels kind of like a sister, you know, to Riley.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
If like there were like a parent, if it was like a parent situation, it was like, you know,
she's the
mom
fun.
Said no.
Yeah, yeah.
But dad, yeah, or whatever. She's the fun parent who's like, okay, like, but don't tell mom. And like, yeah. You can only do it for 50, like,
that's exactly,
you know, the cutoff
is
90 seconds.
Exactly,
and she's like, you can only do it for 50 seconds, but like, all right, like, you're okay. Like, you're big enough to have a drink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know you're only 14, but like, hey, I had a drink when I was 14. You know?
Okay, Bray, I'm going to tell you this right now. Okay, if we doing this, which we've already established we would never do, and you see somebody that's clearly a family member of mine, you ain't gonna quietly say what the fuck and then say I let you in. You're gonna look over at me and say I'm looking straight in the face of your whoever it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you got to let me decide whether or not it's okay for you to talk to this person. You can't surprise me with that person speaking to me directly. You're not allowed to do that. Okay.
Now, do you think he recognized
Riley
her
had
mom?
To know? He had to know because
like these people don't, they look a little messed up, you know,
his reaction. And yes, he's younger, but I would imagine he'd be even more flipped out if
I mean,
yeah. Right? Like he'd be more flipped out if it was just a random ghost. But because he recognized the ghost, and he does kind of give a little look over to Mia when he says what the fuck softly a couple times. I feel like he knew. That's what I would assume that they did know, right?
No, you're right. What the hell?
You cannot surprise me with the ghost of
parent.
A dead parent. You can't do that. You cannot do that. It's awful. I can't believe it. And so then we're clear. It's so clear how fucked we are when she notices that it's her mom, and we hit 50 seconds, and then I don't know how much time passes. But whew.
So basically the seconds stop mattering to Mia, because she obviously just wants to talk to her mom. and she wants to ask questions. And so they're going over the time. And then suddenly it's not her mom anymore. It's maybe that evil guy who from the first time who was like, I'll rip you to shreds.
Exactly.
And he, oh my goodness, this is crazy.
What happens to Riley in this scene is terrible. I texted my friend while I was watching this because he's seen it and not only enjoys it, but also felt like he had an idea that he's been working on that's very similar to it. And so I texted him when this happened that's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Riley, essentially what happens to Riley is once the thing turns to whatever the dark entity is, he starts slamming Riley's head down onto the table. And this boy is so small. This boy is so small. So there's just, I don't know what life is like for him on the other side of this, if he survives even. But there is just, it seems clear he's dead. It seems like there's no... Right. Coming back from this,
and they're trying to stop it. They're trying to like pull the hand off. You know, it's just
the ghost slides the chair across the room, and then starts slamming his head down on a side table. They were like, "Okay, I can't. There are too many kids over here. Let me get this boy away from the kids so I can slam his head down on this side table." Almost throws him through a window. I just kept waiting. And because we know that he's going to get ripped in half, because I think that was the language, ripped in half. I kept waiting for him to be ripped in, like literally ripped in half. I thought he was going to get ripped. I thought we were going to see him get split in two at some point in this scene. We don't, but I mean, I don't know if there's any coming back from this.
No, I mean, he is so disfigured and bloodied. His eyes, it's just like, it's gruesome. And this is one of those things where it's like, when that happens, you would think, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah, we're never doing this again.
Clearly, never doing this again. And also, which does happen, this Mia is just lost her friend and another her second family.
it's gone. It's gone. And in this,
how dare you?
In this scene, when the mother is like, afterwards, you know, they take Riley everyone gets questioned by the cops. They take Riley to the hospital. And in the scene where the mother's like, I know you gave him something. And Riley's like, I didn't give him anything. Again, she never actually reckons with this. I don't think we actually get the character reckoning with this. But I'm like, it's infuriating. That she's arguing that she didn't give him anything. It's like, you need to say
it's
you gave
so
him
something. Strange, because it's like both, like, it's like, first of all, who are you even protecting at this point?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the worst thing. It's like when the worst thing happens, that's when you go, well, what's the point of lying right now?
Yeah.
Something horrible happened. Now, if she wants to, if she feels like they won't believe her or whatever, but it's like, to say what happened.
Yeah, because it's like you can't be also, because it's also like if you're like, I didn't give him anything. And the mother's like, I know you've used, which is a cruel thing that comes out. But then it becomes true. You know, I don't think we know this at this point that she's dabbled in substances. But when the mother's like, we know you've used, it's like you don't need to be on a high horse like you're not using now, because you're clearly using. You're clearly getting something out of this possession antics that you're doing.
Yeah.
What, I have a question actually, now that we're here, because essentially she's at the hospital, while she's at the hospital, Mia starts seeing kind of visions of her mom outside. Right.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
I forgot if we said this already. The first time she uses the hand, she goes over the 90 seconds a little bit.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it is. It was that first time.
She's already broken it.
Okay.
He's broken it too. So it's like the 90 second rule has been broken twice
by the two of them. Okay, because that was the thing that I wasn't sure if because it also felt
it's
like
not a lot, and it felt like it feels like she kind of gets away with it.
Yeah,
but then slowly things are happening. But then it's like she does it again, and then we're like, all right.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Because to me, I was like, oh, I guess she's fine. Like, I guess they did get her out in time in the beginning. But that, yeah. So that's what happens. She used a little bit too much, and then because of the connection with, and maybe that's even why the entity reveals itself to be her mom, you know?
Right. Cause she's like opened a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
However it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The door is open.
Yeah.
It's a crack. Things are,
that's exactly sneaking what in. It is.
And, so Daniel, this is a whole weird thing where she like invites Daniel to stay.
Because the ghost said something and she was like, you know what? I did want to sleep with Daniel. you know what? This whole time, that is what I've wanted to do. So
I mean, I do like Daniel.
I'm glad that ghost
and
said
like,
something.
Daniel says yes. And I'm also like, it's funny because like Daniel gets all like, you know, but I'm also like, why are you?
Yeah, Daniel's on a high horse too. Both of them. This is why these badass kids. Nothing really happens to Daniel, and I'm like, Daniel messing up too. He needed a little something to happen to him too.
He is messing up.
I was really
too.
Mad. There's a point. So we've already established that Joss and Haley are assholes. But there was a point when I realized nothing was gonna happen to them in the movie.
Right.
And I got so mad because they're so it's like it's for
I know, it's their fault.
It's their fault.
I mean they kind of started this whole thing. And another kid already died.
Right, exactly. And for as much as like Mia does like get addicted and goes to the wrong crowd. I mean, this is the dealer in a movie that nothing happens right. to the dealer, right?
Right.
But it was like, I don't know. It just felt like with horror movie rules, something needed to happen to them. Felt like they needed to, some kind of gruesome death of some kind.
Nope, it's all on Mia. So Mia steals the hand.
Right, steals it.
She wants to talk to her mom. There's a scene where she sees a ghost woman sucking on Riley's toe. Sorry, not Riley's toe. Daniel's toe. But then Daniel wakes up and it's Mia sucking
yes,
on her toe.
And this,
so
I
it's
think,
like, oh, so she's possessed.
But I think, yeah, this is what illuminates sort of what the possession is like. So it must feel good, but as if you're watching this happen to the ghost. So like when, right. so like, I mean, except, I don't know, those glimpses that we get of Riley later are like, he's actually being tortured, but.
Right. Yeah. That's maybe different,
but seemingly they're possessed. It feels good, but they're just like seeing a ghost be fucking weird in the chair. Right. Like that's what they're witnessing potentially.
Yeah. 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 That's a good way to describe
this scene. When we see that woman in the corner and she just very slowly gets up and starts crawling towards her, that was too much for me. I could not deal. Because she's in the corner for too long. Do you know what I mean? when she looks up,
it's a scary movie.
She's in the corner. She's in the corner for too long, and she's looking at this woman in the corner, and it's just this thing in the corner because we don't see what it is. Oh man, it was too much. It was I couldn't deal. And then the quick move to get onto the bed was like, oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know at what point she has the convos with her dad. She uses the hand to see her mom, right?
Yeah, she uses the scene So I think even before this happens, she uses the hand to see her mom. Her mom says Riley is in trouble. She says something like, I didn't mean to kill, blah, blah, blah. And that makes Mia think that something's up with her death that she didn't really know and that her dad is potentially hiding something. The mother also says that Riley is in trouble. And then we cut to the hospital and Jade and the mom are cleaning up Riley. Riley wakes up once the mom leaves and just starts slamming his head. Riley is dead. I don't understand how y'all trying to tell me y'all trying to tell me that this little boy is alive still? He slams his head into the wall 4 or 5 times after being flipped around the room and slamming his head into several wooden thick. It's not just wood. It's not just a wood. It's not just like a flimsy wood table. Thick oak tables. Okay. This boy is dead. He's dead. You can't tell me he's not dead.
This boy is dead.
You can't tell me he's not dead.
Yeah. And so it's like, you have to go save Riley. Does she blow out the candle?
You know, once she starts doing it more and more, I stop paying attention to like the time.
It's like,
the,
it's
and
like
the
it
rules.
Doesn't even matter. Yeah. She like kind of is like, she's left this open.
Yeah. But is this when she comes to the idea? Because she doesn't go to the thing. They already told her she's not allowed to go. I don't remember how she links up with the kids again. Is she just back there with? Oh wait, no. This is exactly what happens. She links up with them. They mm-hmm. connect together after like seemingly Jade and her family don't want to talk to her anymore. But which makes sense. And they end up together and they're having just like a conversation. And she's like, I've been seeing things. Has anybody else been seeing things? And then the kids all put it on her, like, you're the one who made Riley do this, and yeah. we don't like you, and
yeah, which
you fucking sucks.
So messed up. They put all the blame on her. I'm like, y'all were all there.
Ridiculous. She didn't have the hand in the first place. You're the one walking around with a dead hand in your backpack.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
But then... Because how do they go to get Cole? Because she's like, we got to learn more about this.
Well, in this scene, they finally, because Daniel asks like, but where did you get this hand from? And blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we're not telling
right.
you. Then in that same scene, they let slip. They were not going to tell. They let slip that they got it from Duckett or whatever the guy's name is.
Right.
And we all know, they all know, everybody knows that Duckett's brother killed himself. And so it's like, oh, shit, you know. That's going to happen to me.
Right.
So that's when they go to get Duckett. Duckett wants nothing to do with this. He walks away. He gets on the train. He gets on the bus. They follow him onto the bus. And essentially all that really we learn from Duckett is he thinks Joss is a fucking asshole. And Joss is an asshole. It's yeah. fucking with people's lives. That's all we really get out of this scene. Joss is a fucking asshole. Nothing happens to Joss. It's so annoying.
Wikipedia says that he explains that a living body naturally expels invading spirits.
Yes, he does explain that. He says Riley should be fine. First, he's surprised that they let a kid do it. But then he's like, you know, right. and I don't know why he knows this, but he's like, Riley, because he had the hand first. Right. He's like, Riley should be fine. He should expel it. But they notice that every time Riley is waking up, he's trying to kill himself. So they're afraid that Riley's going to die before he even does that. But he does explain that.
Right.
I forgot that part.
Right. And then she sees a vision of Riley in like hell. Okay.
So this is my favorite scene. I said this already, but this is my favorite scene. So they go. So after this, they go. She sort of thinks like she has one more idea, which is like, we didn't blow out the candle. So let's go and do it again with Riley. And Jade's like, what the fuck are you talking? I'm not going to do this. And she's like, I have to try something. So they go to Riley and she's saying, talk to him, like trying that. And they're blowing out the candle, talk to him. And they're blowing out the candle, doing all that stuff. Right. It's not working. She's like, maybe I can go in and talk to him. Maybe he's on another plane. So she talks to a ghost. And the ghost says, I let you in. And let me tell you, I was thrilled. I was fully thrilled by this switch. It was so. Mm-hmm. And then when mm-hmm. we go to the world, and it's fucking, it's all kinds of like, it's like quick, weird, you know, like wavy shots of like hands and skin, and we kind of see Riley clearly for a couple seconds. I was like, I really wanted to do this more. We unfortunately didn't, but I loved that. I loved that as an idea that you can, that the ghosts can let you in and you can then go to this other world and whatever the fuck's happened over there, you can kind of experience whatever that is. That was very thrilling and exciting.
Yeah. okay. Trying to think what happened.
Literally, what happens next is Mia's complete spiral, and she starts
essentially stuff with her
the,
dad.
Her mom is like her dad. First, her dad is like, "I need to read you mom's suicide note." Then her mom, in heavy air quotes, is like, "That's not your dad. He's lying. It's not true." And there is an entity we see. That someone is banging on the door, but we also see that her dad is just kind of chilling on the couch, like looking at the hand, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, she's fully hallucinating. She's fully possessed and like seeing.
We're getting a glimpse at what was going on for the other kid at the beginning of the movie. And in a perfect instance of synchronicity, the dad bursts through the door and gets to Mia. Just as she's trying to stab a ghost version of him. Like it's so weird and ends up stabbing him directly in the neck. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
Really sad.
And I don't know. Do we ever know if he actually dies or not?
I think because he walks away from her at the end that he is either going to heaven, right? Because he gets on the elevator, or he's alive and well. But I would have thought we would have seen him like in the hospital or something, right? Because we see like Riley alive and well later too in her ghost vision,
right?
Which I assumed is the actual future, you know, actual time. Because the hand is also in at this point, the hand is also in someone else's possession. So like time has passed significantly, you know. Anyway, no, we don't know if he died, but I think he goes to heaven, and I don't know what this world believes, but you know.
Well, there's definitely a hell, that's right. For sure.
She went to the bad place. He goes to the good place. Is what happened.
So yeah, she stabs him. Then she's like,
she calls Jade, and she's like, "I know what to do. Can you come over and hang out with me?" And Jade is like, "I'll go." Oh, but after saying that, she thinks that her brother's actually getting a little bit better.
Right.
So she goes to her house. But this whole time, Mia was actually already at the hospital.
Already at the hospital. Kidnaps Riley. She's got him in a wheelchair. She's going towards the highway.
And Riley, we know now, she is looking at Riley and seeing a weird dude. Just a fucking weird dude who... We don't know what's up with this guy. He's weird. And like Riley's ours now and blah, blah, blah.
She's just completely seeing things and being talked to by who she thinks is her mom, but it's not her mom.
Right. Right.
You know, and then, you know, we think maybe is she going to kill Riley? Is she going to push him into traffic? But instead, like, she's the one who.
Right. She threw herself into traffic.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Threw herself into
that
traffic.
That was wild.
Because don't we see, like, I mean, we see her get hit, but don't we see, like, are we with another car?
Yes, we're in the car that she bumps into.
Goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And then she wakes up in the hospital.
This was Riley's all good. Truly incredible. Yeah. She wakes up in the hospital. Okay. We see her lying on the concrete. She wakes up in the hospital. She walks around the hospital and she starts seeing things. Like, Riley is not only awake, but like, there isn't a single bruise on his face. So Riley's perfectly fine.
Right. And it makes you wonder, like, how injured was, like, you know what I mean? Like, when did
Or how much time, or I guess the thought is how much time has passed. Because
that's too.
Because if the hand got into possession of someone else and the last person who had it was her dad, and her dad's dead probably, right? Then, like, her stuff was auctioned off and then... You know, the hand has also moved and the story has moved. You know, like, what even happened?
Yeah.
But she finds herself eventually in the dark. There's a table in front of her with a candle and a human hand reaching out over the candle. She shakes the hand and finds herself in a weird party.
That's, which is great.
Truly incredible. I love the
yeah.
Truly incredible. Incredible.
I mean, such a great ending. And then the person, of course, says, "I let you in."
Yep. and you see how you like it. Buddhist. Oof.
Great ending. Great, great ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah. There's so, yeah, you know, there's themes of grief here. You know, the suicide thing is so interesting because it's like, not that I don't think this movie necessarily was trying to say anything about it, but like you just think about the, you know, how other people are going to look at it, which is like her mom committed suicide. And then so she kind of does like a murder suicide essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And like how people would look at that of like, oh, this is just like a mental illness being passed down through the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like the drug use kind of mapping thing. You're right. The other kids really don't get punished at all. It's like fully me.
Yeah.
And I'm not even necessarily sure why. Is it because she didn't accept the death of her mom?
Yeah. I mean, right. That's why she, because she's looking for some kind of an outlet. And that becomes her like only outlet. But then like sort of in theory, it's like there are failures happening all around her though, right? Like, I mean, her, I don't know. I don't know how you, I don't know if we can put this on anybody except her.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, like if your kid's going around fucking cavorting with the devil, like... You have to know. You have to have it some kind. You don't have any control. You may not have any control over that, but you don't know that that's what's happening? Come on.
Right.
Come on, bro. But also in thinking about like suicide, you know, you don't always know. You don't always know. Yeah. You know.
That's true.
It's a surprise, you know. It's sudden. So I don't know, perfect, right? Like for literal perfect mapping and allusions to that stuff. So,
yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else?
I have nothing else
to talk
add.
About.
It was great.
Talk to me. So it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helped the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. If a film fully helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Boom. I got mine up. I got mine up already. And it's twisted. It's twisted like that, like the hand in the movie. Got my fist up, but it's twisted.
Or raise up. Wow.
Mine is up. Mine is up already and it's twisted.
All right. Well, you don't know what I'm going to do. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, there for the listeners at home, he for a second had his palm up and then curled it, which I think is also what happens to the two in A24 at the beginning of the movie, like twists into a hand twists into a two. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I actually did think about maybe giving it a palm only because I'm like, is it like, because they're Australian actors, will they actually get to do anything else? But Sophie Wilde was the lead of this. You know, you got to think she's going to maybe be given a crack at something down the line because this was a very popular film. I know horror films, you know, stars of horror films don't necessarily always go on to do things, but sometimes they do.
Yeah, I think, and it's important. Brown Final Girls, I think, are important. You know, I don't know how much we're going to continue to, and this isn't really upholding the final girl trope necessarily, but I don't know if we're going to keep doing that, but I think it's good to have, like, you know, brown women leading films like this.
Yeah. It's so cool because it made a lot of money, lot of money based off their budget. It's not a type of film to me that you can do a sequel to, but I do believe these directors will get another crack, and who knows, we'll see what they
do. I would love to see more. Did they write it as well?
Or at least Danny is credited as writer, and then there are these two other writers that are credited.
Okay, yeah, I would love to see more from these. And also this dude worked on Thor Love and Thunder. All right, well, that's already working. What about Bill also work on Thor Love and Thunder? There's gonna be a Talk to Me.
There is going to be a sequel. Okay, so it's again, it's like a film that I'm like, I don't really know what the sequel would be other than just another version of this. And I don't know if she would be in it.
I don't think you can have her back.
But it made too much money. It made too much money to not have a sequel.
I would rather it be other, like, you could have her as a ghost or whatever, but I would rather it be other people. You could bring back Riley, like something is still sort of following Riley and his and their family, and maybe she's there in that. I guess that would be the, for me, that would be the only way to sort of bring it back. But I don't want to see Joss. I don't want to see him again.
No. It should be, I mean, like, they were in another, she was in another country when she got brought back. It should be in another country. It probably will be in America.
Let's be real. It's going to be in the States.
Though I did like the Aussie-ness to it, you know, that it made
yes.
it, that was, it brought another element to it. So I don't know. Maybe put it in Canada. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links there to, first of all, our, you know, paid subscription podcast. You can get that on Patreon or Red Circle. $5 a month. We do new episodes every other week. We have a whole host of old episodes on there, including what we did, Monkey Man. Mm-hmm. We did Madea's...
Madea's Mea Culpa.
Tyler Perry's Madea Culpa.
Madea Culpa.
Synonymous. One and the same. Tyler Perry's Madea Culpa. But it helps us keep the podcast free. So, yes. You know, if you have it and, you
please
know,
subscribe
a little bit, that would be
dupe. Thank you.
And thank you so much for all those who do. You can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram. I am in a Herald on a Herald team called This Is She. We perform at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. So if you're ever out, want to see some improv, Mondays 8:30 generally. Next performance is the 20th and the 27th after that. And that's all for me.
This is She. You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. RuleOfThreeInc.com. Three is the number three. And I have a Kickstarter going on for my comic series, Junior. It's all of the stuff about being excited about going to the afterlife. that's exactly what I'm writing. So check that out if you have any interest. And also, if you have children, Fairly Odd Parents is coming out May 20th. And if you're a fan of Kevin Hart, you can watch the Mark Twain Prize, which I got to write on. I haven't seen it yet, but I hope it didn't.
Oh, nice.
It's out on, that's on Netflix. Check that out.
Oh yeah, Netflix. He's doing everything on Netflix now, huh?
Yeah, I guess must have some kind, the LOL or Heartbeat must have some kind of a deal.
Yeah, big deal. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We will see you in 2 weeks. Peace.